Like something particularly striking from.
Well, you pointed out that the praying seven times a day was brought over from the Jewish tradition. And I couldn't help but think, but that's the Muslim tradition, I guess. They certain times of the day they pray.
No, it has nothing
Jewish.
To do with
it. Well, it's Muslim. Muslim is much younger than Jewish.
I know, but the Muslim people practice that today.
Well, right. It's not related. The Jews, these breaks in prayer, they come from Judaism, and Muslim practice doesn't have anything to do with the Jewish practice at all, that I'm aware of. I don't think it does.
I would just think it's odd that they do that. In our monasteries,
it does not come from Islam, that's for sure.
No, it doesn't come from Islam. It's funny that in our monastery, the monks hold to this practice.
As was done from the beginning of the Christian faith. The hours are taken from Judaism, but
many of our lay people don't.
No, because, well, we don't.
Because we're busy running our automobile and stuff.
As one of the things that Father Schmemann mentions is that daily cycle is not something that we're going to be able to restore. It's a monastic cycle. It's done in monasteries. Mm-hmm. But if you were in a monastery, the hours would find their place during, like if you got up at midnight, you know, and did the midnight prayers and began, you know, compline and then vespers and matins and liturgy back to back. You would start about midnight, finish about 9 o'clock in the morning, and then go to breakfast. Mm-hmm. So the hours would punctuate, you know, that 9 hour period. And some of the hours, I think, are done in the cells of the monastics because they're monks. So there are people, for people who are interested in trying to remind themselves of these things during the day, kind of like when Father Schmemann talks about, there's a contrast, it seems to me, in Father Alexander's book between the non-liturgical prayers of the hours and the liturgical prayers of vespers and matins. The sanctification of time has to do with vespers and matins, not with the hours. I'm not sure why Deacon Michael inserted that part. It's not. Father Schmemann doesn't talk about the hours. He doesn't talk about compline. He doesn't talk about the midnight service. You know, those are non-liturgical services. In the compline that we did tonight, it's called a non-liturgical service. But it's the liturgical services and the liturgical cycle of time, which Father Schmemann points out, the day begins in the evening liturgically in contradiction to the secular day. You know, we get up in the morning, we sleep at night and rest. We get up in the morning. We want to do our work. We start our day. We might start with morning prayers. At the end of the day, we do all the things that we do. And Father Schmemann says, makes some comment about how in the evening of each day we come to the church. We who are in the world, having lived through many hours, filled as usual with work, rest, suffering, joy, hatred, love. Men have died. Men have been born. It's you know, the we're imprisoned in time, more or less, have fallen into a condition where we are laboring in the world. It may have been a happy day. It may have been the worst or the best day in somebody's life. It may be a day that brought the end to all their hopes and the destruction of their very soul. And now, he says, this whole day is now here at the end of the day, unique, irreversible, it's gone. But things that happen during the day will come over tomorrow. you know, and then he quotes Ecclesiastes about how nothing never happens new under the sun. All of that is the fallen condition of the world. We come to the evening service of Vespers, and that darkness that the world has fallen into is where Vespers starts, and the focus is on creation, you know, as Deacon Michael mentioned, once he finally talks about, once he's finished with Hawaii and his vacation and drifting, you know, with the riptide and you know, about how we shouldn't drift, we should fill the day with Christ, you know, and the hours and all that. That's kind of all his. That's not in the book. None of that's in the book. You know, what Father Schmemann starts with, and then finally when he makes the transition, when Deacon Michael makes the transition, he does say, the end of the day, the church begins the sanctification of time. So at that point, he's talking about what Father Schmemann is talking about. And the end of the day, the church begins with the sanctification of time, Vespers. So Father Schmemann, when he talks about all those bad things that are happening during the day, that may have happened during the day, it's a reference to the fact that the end of the day, it's dark. It reminds me of the beginning of Genesis. There is darkness, and God said, "Let there be light." You know, and that's kind of redone after the fall, beginning with Vespers, as far as our participation, our entrance into what Christ has accomplished. He was born into a world that had fallen into darkness. Creation is still there. It's like you can't see it. It's, you know, I thought of things like at night, you know, it's dark. You can see the stars and the planets. During the day, they're still there. You can't see them because of the light. And it's like the opposite condition has fallen on the earth. In the evening, things are dark. You can't see anything. And yet the realm of creation is there. You know, the oceans are there. The land is there. The mountains are there. The rivers are there. The animals are there. Everything that God created, it's all there. But it's fallen into darkness. You know, it's like that. It's comparable to me. You could make that in parallel with Father Schmemann's talking about how the day is gone. It's unique. It's irreversible. What has been done during the day remains forever. It's the darkness of getting to the end of the day, and you've done the best you could, and you're exhausted. But now something new is going to happen, and that's the sanctification of time. That's the new thing that's going to happen. That Christ is born into a world that is in darkness, and then, you know, how does Vespers start? It starts on the theme of creation. First, you know, and he did a great job on this, I thought, Deacon Michael. He talks first about creation as it was meant to be, as it came from the hands of God, you know, in the first one of the Psalms that is part of Vespers. But then the rest of the Psalms focus, as the Psalms are really good at doing, on the anxiety and the pleading with God and all the rest of that. It's talking about the earth fall, the world, the created world having fallen into darkness. And then after that long section that has to do with, you know, pleading with God in the midst of this and calling upon God, there is a response. And the response was the third theme. Where are we here?
Redemption.
Right. Right. The theme of redemption. There is a response. There is an answer. That answer is Christ, and He is the light. So even in, but it's still dark. I mean, it's Vespers. You know, it's like the Christ child is born in darkness. It's a small light, you know, in the midst of the darkness. It's not going to be dawn for a long time yet. There's another service, Matins, that will take us from darkness into the light. But this is the light in the midst of darkness, you know, and Simeon is going to die. You know, he's waited. It's like we've been through this long day and we've gotten to Vespers. He's been waiting for the light to come. And in the evening, the world is going to be recreated, beginning in the evening, beginning in the midst of this darkness, with the coming of the light into the darkness, and that's Christ. You know, and it starts out as a small light. The only light of a human being that is in the world is Christ to begin with, and Christ as an infant, as a child. It's a small light in the darkness. So yeah, redemption, and then the end. Yeah, the end comes. The end for Saint Simeon is that he receives the Christ child into his arms. So all of that has been accomplished by the end of Vespers, and it's for us to realize, as we live in a world of darkness, at the end of a long work day, that has been brought to an end. You know, that Simeon's waiting is not—he's not waiting for death. He's waiting for this new light in the darkness. You know, that is going to end up being the salvation of the world. That's what he's been waiting for, and now he can depart in peace because he knows things are going to, you know, be turned around, you know, by the Redeemer. So that's the end of Vespers, and then Matins begins again. We awake in darkness. I thought that was that point was really well made by Deacon Michael. That when we wake up, we wake up in the morning, and it's going to be morning. It takes a long time for the full darkness to become full light. You know, it's not something that happens quickly. I remember being at the beach, and you go down to watch the sun come up. You have to get there really early while it's really, really still dark, because you see this glow, you know, for the first thing. And it takes a long time for the sun to come up over the ocean. Well, life is like that too, you know, and it's encouraging, you know, when we think about and we experience all the difficulty of our lives, that difficult long day that we come to when we come to Vespers, and we see the small light even in the midst of the darkness. But in Matins we wake up in the darkness, and there's no light yet. You know, we remember from Vespers, which is kind of like, and Father and Deacon Michael makes this connection, kind of like the darkness and Pascha, and there's just one light and the darkness. Vespers is kind of like that. You know, we have it's going to be a long time till dawn. Won't come till Matins, but so we awake in darkness, and then there are the first theme and the second theme of light. And then, God is the Lord and has revealed himself. This is the day that the Lord has made. That means the new day that Christ has made. You know, we think, if we just think and we apply it to the 12 hours or 24 hours ahead of us, this is the day that the Lord has made, you know, we're missing it. Because the day that the Lord has made is the day when we can live in the light as Christians that we've been conscious of at Vespers, and now is breaking through for Christians. This new light of Christ is the new day, the day of a new life. That's what we're celebrating, you know, and greeting, you know, at Matins, since that is the redemption, the third theme in Matins, that we are able to work during this new day, this new morning. We are not people of the darkness, we are people of the light. It means the light of Christ. This new day has been given to us. We are able to live a life that has been brightened by this new light, that is the possibility of our living a life that comes from God. You know, it's completely different from the Western idea that God came, he saved us, and you know, we're not going to go to hell. But as far as sunrise, sunset, we're still stuck with that. We labor during the day, and in the evening we go to bed, and we rest, and maybe at the end of our life we'll have eternal rest. And so Father Schmemann emphasizes that the new life that has been brought is a life of living and doing and working in the light that is Christ. That's what the Matins, rising of the light, that is always about. So it makes that time between the first coming and the second coming of Christ not a time of despair, and that there is nothing that can make the life of a true Christian, of a saint for sure, into a life of despair. So that's the sanctification of time. Time is sanctified by virtue of the fact that we are able to live time. Well, we could say, in the light of Christ. I mean, when we say that, do we even have any idea of what that actually means? You know, it means that we live not a life that is dominated by darkness and the presence of death in the world, but that we live a life that is newly made, in the sense that we are able to live in a way that we would not have been able to live had it not been for Christ, and that we can't live even now if we are not somehow in touch with, you know, that sanctified life. You know, it's Christians that sanctify time. Christ doesn't sanctify time from outside on our behalf. We participate in the sanctification of time by way of, Orthodox would say, we can live in communion and synergy with God. So by doing that, by living this life that we could not have lived otherwise, we sanctify time. Time is sanctified by Christ and by us in communion with God through Christ. So that's it takes time to do that. And so there is a movement from darkness into light in the Vespers and the Matins, and the conclusion of it is that our life has been sanctified to be able to go and to live it. You know, to live it alive. And as the conclusion section that Deacon Michael highlighted is perfect. It's like poetry almost, that seventh section. And I think he was right to read it, you know, as he did. He made time and our work in it into the sacrament of the world to come. That's how we can live. It is when we have reached the end of the world's self-sufficiency, at the end of the day, when it's dark, at the end of the day, we're finished working and all that, we're exhausted. At the end of the day, the end of the world's self-sufficiency, we've done all that we can do, and you can't change it, it's past, it's come to an end. Time is like that, life is like that. But the Christian revelation of life in Christ, it's not limited by that. You know, it begins again for us as the material of the sacrament that we are to fulfill in Christ. That means the sacrament of our life that we are able to fulfill in Christ in this new day, the day that the Lord has made. Not the day, now that we made a day during that day that we got exhausted and worked and were tired. That was not a day that the Lord made. It was lived in darkness. And the best we did the best we could, but that day is gone. You know, this new day, this of this sacrament, of the making time sacred. You know, that begins in Vespers and is celebrated in Vespers and Matins. That is a day that the Lord has made by becoming incarnate, by becoming, you know, one of us, and enabling us to live in this new kind of way. There is no thing under the sun as far as just the earth, you know, sunrise, sunset, same thing over and over again. But every day, every minute now resounds, that is, it's filled with the new sound, the new light of the victorious affirmation, "Behold, I make all things new. I am the beginning and the end." From Revelation. That's what the celebration of light is all about. It starts out in Vespers just a little. There's light in the darkness revealed to Simeon. There is going to be salvation. And by the time you get to Matins, then there is the revelation of the life that we can live. So that's the sanctification of time part of it, it seems to me. You don't have anything you want to add, Sharon? Okay.